Well, my name is Kaylee, and I have the privilege of serving on the staff team here at Southside. I help facilitate discipleship for those in grade 5 to 12. I help with some communication stuff. And yeah, it's been a real privilege to be part of that team. So today we're going to be talking about preparing for Lent, beginning in just a couple of days. On Ash Wednesday, we will be engaging Jesus' journey in Luke 4 for the season of Lent. So today, Shelley and I hope to help all of us prepare well for this season by considering why and how we can approach Lent as a church family, as households, and as individuals. If you remember last week, Cam told us a story about his soccer team that is so far ahead in the standings that in some ways, victory is already theirs. They're for sure gonna win. They can predict the end of the story. But they still have the season ahead of them to play, and they still have the rest of that story to live out. And that's how we, as God's kids, get to live here on earth. I like to call it the both and life. Both in part now and in full forever, we are going to get to experience the presence of God. We are going to get to live out heaven. We get to pray things like, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we get to see glimpses of the way things are supposed to be. But we don't get to see them all the time yet. We don't get to fully live into that reality. We're still here in this broken world, and we are broken. I am broken. And we forget sometimes that life is more than what we see and what we hear, definitely more than what we feel. So that's what Lent is all about, getting unstuck from the things that grab our attention and our affection, and remembering that we are part of God's big story. Heaven on earth is coming. There's more to the story, and we don't have to find our identity or joy or value or satisfaction in what the world offers. Well, Lent has been a historical practice of the church for many centuries, so this practice of Lent connects us not only to the body of Christ around the world in 2020, but it connects us with the generations behind us and ahead, who probably like me and like most of us, need tangible reminders and structures to help them focus and keep Christ in the forefront of their lives, remembering there is a both and. The Axis Guide to Lent says that liturgies and traditions that involve our minds, hearts, and senses are powerful to shape our imaginations. They combat our apathy and forgetfulness. So while Act 1 of the liturgical calendar, which is what we know pretty well, Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, focuses on the incarnation of Jesus, Act 2 hones in on his death and resurrection, beginning with this season that we call Lent. Lent takes after the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness before he began his public ministry, and there are other ways that 40 days were important in Scripture. And traditionally, there are four components of the practice of Lent, or four of the components, are prayer, fasting, generous giving, and a renewed attitude of lament and repentance. So while Lent is not explicitly in the Bible, we see in Matthew 6 that Jesus taught and modeled all four of these elements. Matthew 6, 16, and if you have your Bibles, I'll be in Matthew 6 on and off, so feel free to go there. Matthew 6, 16 to 18 says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, smile, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Fasting is probably one of the first things that we think of when someone mentions Lent. Lee Nelson says that one can fast from anything that assaults the appetites. The purpose of fasting is to bring about hunger in order to put those appetites in their proper place. Fasting helps us remember what we are actually truly hungry for, a deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Gravity Leadership's article on Lent calls fasting a way to place ourselves in the way of grace by withdrawing our reliance on earthly things so that we can feast on God's presence and power. We will place ourselves in the way of grace by withdrawing our reliance on earthly things, giving up, so that we can feast on God's presence and power, filling up. We'll sacrifice for a season, give up, in order to make space for prayer, reflection, generosity, hospitality, one another, filling up. And a beautiful piece of the Lenten fast is that the 40 days don't include Sundays. So when we begin on Ash Wednesday and go till Easter Sunday, there's these Sundays spread out in between that aren't included in that 40 days of fasting. And this is because every Sunday in the whole year, in the whole liturgical calendar, is a little Easter. It's a celebration of the resurrection. So the Sundays throughout Lent, as feast days, help us recognize that dawning of heaven on earth, to regain our both and perspective on life. The victory is coming, and the victory has already been won. Greg Gobel puts it this way: the fast is not the focus of Lent. The future feast is the focus, and fasting is a way to prepare for that feast. Lent is actually the exception to our feasting. Fasting is a temporary part of life while we wait for the bridegroom's return. Fasting will pass away, but feasting will remain forever. Well, another glimpse of God's kingdom coming on earth happens when we practice generosity. Traditionally in Lent, this has been done through almsgiving or giving to the poor. Jesus talks about an attitude of a humble giver back in Matthew 6, verses 2 to 4. And he reminds us that it's not about making people think that we're awesome, but rather about pointing to God's awesomeness. Our sacrificial giving not only builds up others, helps people who are in a tough spot, but it also changes our hearts and it frees us from our overattachment to money and the comfort or the coolness factor that we think money can buy us. Amy Lee says that beauty and generosity, hospitality and celebration, these often have the power to loosen our grasp on our contributions and reorient us in the best way. For before we are givers, we are recipients first of grace upon grace. When we give up by giving generously, we are really proving the reality that we have already been filled up. God takes care of us and has given us the greatest gift, himself. Take a moment and think about that. The very source of love, the being that made us and gives us our identity, has drawn near. Jesus, the King, is the whole point of the kingdom that's coming. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we're praying, "More of your presence. You are enough." Friends, he's so good. He's so much better than anything we can create for ourselves here. And we sang about that a little bit this morning. And Lent helps us remember that we can put everything we love into perspective in the bigger picture of his love for us. And when we share the deepest longings of our hearts with him, when we surrender, when we give up our desires, we begin to be filled with his desires for us and for the world. Which leads us to the next practice of Lent, which is prayer. In Matthew 6, 7 to 10, Jesus says this to his disciples and to us. "And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans who think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So each day in Lent, as we step into that both and kingdom, as we focus on the reality of God's kingdom beginning to break through in our world, we can be in constant conversation with him about it. Father, you're holy. You see the perfect heavenly way things are supposed to be already. Help me see what your kingdom, what you being king means for my neighbor. What's your will here? How would you handle this situation? How would you solve this problem? How would you approach this person? Help me see the hints of heaven that you've already put in everything that you created. And show me how to point them out in a way that gives you all the glory. So Lent helps us make that extra space to pray, to give those conversations with God focus and attention. And we'll find ourselves drawn closer to the loving heart of our Father in the process. Well, in verse 12, Jesus continues the prayer. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. One of the rough parts about this both and life is that we are still all sinners. And every day of a Christ follower's life needs confession, repentance, forgiveness. So while we practice those, hopefully, every day, Lent gives us a chance to sit in those postures a little bit more deeply. And when we get there, we remember that repentance isn't about shame, it's about freedom. The Access Guide to Lent tells us that his mercy does not say, you're forgiven, and then leave you comfortably wherever you are. No, in his mercy, he leaves no area of our lives untouched. And he wants for us greater and greater freedom from the oppression of sin and the evil one. Repentance isn't just a nice feeling we have. It's the road into a new way of living into the kingdom of God. And the disciplines of Lent invite us to enter into this new way of life. When we repent, we get another chance to make a U-turn and begin to walk in the way of Jesus. And if you're like me, another U-turn to walk in the way of Jesus, and another U-turn every day. And when we forgive others, we can find freedom from the resentment that we carry around. Often it means we get to open up possibilities of restored relationship and reconciliation. Your kingdom come. Repentance and forgiveness not only change each one of us individually, they strengthen us as the family of God, and they give another piece of the kingdom of God puzzle being realized here on earth. We get to live into our prayer for God's kingdom to come. Well, in some ways, fasting, giving, prayer, repentance are private practices. We need to decide in our own hearts to enter into those invitations. And as Jesus reminds us throughout Matthew 6, they're personal because we're not doing them to get the glory from other people. But they are also meant to be done in community. And when we do engage these practices together, we will find joy in experiencing freedom and seeing freedom in each other. And most importantly, how we live is a message to the world about who God is and what his family and kingdom are like. Friends, this both and life can pull glimpses of heaven into focus for our friends who don't yet know Christ. It can open their eyes to a whole new way of thinking and being. It can invite them into the abundant life that Jesus offers those who will go there with him. So practically, in a moment, Shelley's going to come and share a framework with us about how we will engage Lent well together this year. But first, I just want you to check out this clip of a couple of fellows who aren't quite getting the point yet about what that's about.